Krishna is several verses here. The words, Krishna is how it will happen in this Boma Vrindavan of Vrajadam. Already directing this from Golok Vrindavan. This definitely puts away the speculation. Here, in this particular first verse where Krishna himself, Goloka, true is by the order of Krishna, is to remove fear. This famous verse in the Brahma Samhita, be abhipalayat. Goloka Vrindavan is a place, nice place, best place, no fear, because there's no duality of feeling fearless and fearful. These two duality words, like for example, we feel fearful, and the opposite of feeling fearful is to feel fearless. So these two aspects of duality are experienced in the material world. In Goloka Vrindavan, there's no duality, everything is absolute. Therefore, these opposites of fearfulness and fearlessness is not there. It's not there at all. These opposites are present in the material world, and it's present in Boma Vrindavan. In order for Krishna to prepare for his appearance from Golok to this particular, in this particular universe and in this particular planet and in this particular area of Vraj Mandala, like that, explicitly apply that this place is fearless. It has to be implied in this place that people are living without fear and they do not know what is fear. So therefore Srila Prabhupada used to say in other places that you can detect fear where the cows are freely grazing, surabhi abhipalayat, without any fear of being slaughtered or killed. Therefore, judge a place like that, where the cows are protected, you will know that place is free from fear. How? The cow itself, in its natural state, does not know what is fear. Pull to the slaughterhouse, it doesn't know it's going to be killed. It doesn't really know it's going to be killed. Cow is like that. As M. Prabhupada says in Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaicha. First is go, the cows. So where the cows are living without any fear of being slaughtered, or being eaten for that matter, like that place is considered Golok. In that way. Yogamaya is ordered by the Lord to actually come from Golok to Devaki, to Vasudev, and then into, just to do this one thing, is to prepare the consciousness and the atmosphere of this place that it is free from fear. It is. Now, there is an aspect of this thing, how to make a place free from fear. There is an aspect. That aspect is that a preacher of Krishna consciousness is abhaya. Is fearless. So when one takes shelter of a preacher, you know, like the principal emissary of Goloka Vrindavan is Srila Prabhupada and his followers, if one shelter of such persons, then one will also be free from not living in fear. Because they are the fearless persons that are not afraid of fear of the material world. So by their presence, and by their preaching and by their potency, when they appear in this material world, that place can be transformed from fearful to fearless because of their own consciousness of fearlessness. Abhaya charana. Lord has to do that first. The Lord has to do that through the agency of his preachers. And his principal preacher that is coming right now is Yogamaya, to come and prepare the place and the consciousness of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Prior to that, the Lord's associates have already appeared there. Lord's associates, and specifically on Krishna's appearance and on the preparation. Now, we find that Srila Prabhupada does mention earlier on, in Devaki she bore 8 sons, 6 where Krishna is, to Devaki and Vasudevi. Srila Prabhupada says in the first chapter, Devaki also gave birth, in other words, in more places than one. Soda also gave birth to a daughter named. To relate these two statements, how does she become the daughter of Subhadra? At least, but related to some extent now, just for today. And just to put that into perspective, who were their wives, Yasoda and Devaki? Prabhupada have us understand, although their names are different, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, Yasoda and Devaki, although their names are different, they are non-different personalities. Non-different personalities. So in one sense, there are two forms in one soul. Times, due to expansions, two souls in one form. Other way around also. It can apply simultaneously, one would end different. This is a chinchabeda beda tantra. It's like that. Prabhupada says that the only difference, although Yasoda is Devaki, and Devaki is Yasoda, who is original? Who is original? Naturally, the original personality is Yasoda. Though they are one person, like that. And sometimes they may appear as another soul, but coming to this person also, given also in the 10th canto from different branches. That's another discussion. But we don't want to get too much into that because that's a separate thing altogether. Discussing the actual personality themselves, like that. So therefore, Prabhupada says that the only difference of the conscious Devaki and Vasudev is that Devaki is able to understand that Krishna is the personality of Godhead and was born to him like that. And whereas Yasoda is not able to understand that Krishna appeared to her, and neither she is understanding that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Neither she is understanding. Therefore, there is a thing called Jnana Maya. Jnana Maya means a knowledge. Maya means covered. Like that. See? So the knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not known to Mother Yasoda. Jnana Maya, covered. Yeah. She is a transcendental ignorance. Transcendental ignorance, which is called Jnana Maya. It's not Mahamaya. Like that. Not Mahamaya. That Jnana Maya is one of the partial features of Yoga Maya. Partial. That happens to Mother Yasoda. But Devaki, Jnana, I know that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says this only difference. Otherwise, they are practically non-different personalities in that way. And other situation is that, to understand it further, there is what is called, in one sense, Kevala Bhakti, which is not things by Jnana. And it's distinct from the stages of Jnana and Jnana Mahi Bhakti. So Jnana and Bhakti is there, but Jnana Mahi Bhakti means you covered, you don't know that this is the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada mentions this also in the 3rd chapter, in one purport. Now, I'm putting this into perspective for a simple reason. Actually, understand it even more clearly like that. We are aware, or maybe not aware, but still can be made aware now, like that. Everything expands from the residence of Vrindavan, from the residence of Gokul. Ravali expands from Radha. Balaram expands from Sils and the residence of Goloka Vrindavan coming into Gokul. We're all aware that there are two features. One is called Madhurya Bhav, and that is exclusively in, you know, Vraj Mandala, especially Gokul Vrindavan. The other is called Aishwarya Bhav, the opulent feature which surpasses all material opulence, like that. And that which surpasses all material opulence is the simplicity of loving Krishna, which is called simplicity of loving Krishna. It supersedes spiritual opulence. And material opulence is insignificant to spiritual opulence. And at the same time, the simplicity of loving Krishna, spiritual opulence is insignificant to that. Like that. Material opulence is insignificant to spiritual opulence, Aishwarya. Aishwarya is insignificant to Madhurya. It's the simplicity of love. From the simplicity of loving Krishna expands spiritual opulence. And from spiritual opulence, perverted way expands material opulence. All originates from the simplicity of loving Krishna. That sense. That simplicity of loving Krishna, the topmost feature of the simplicity of loving Krishna, one of the topmost features is the personification of the form of Mother Yasoda. So Mother Yasoda expands from Madhurya Bhav into Aishwarya Bhav. That is the form of Devaki. Nanda Maharaj expands from Madhurya Bhav into the form of Aishwarya Bhav. That is the form of Vasudeva. It's a little bewildering because you could say in one sense they are two, at the same time they are one personality in two forms. One is origin, the other is expansion. Either way, it doesn't matter. For that sake. So this aspect, this aspect here, this particular verse is powerful, where the Lord is ordering Yogamaya. And the Lord is ordering Yogamaya to go where? To go where? Nanda Gokula, not to Mathura. Specifically in Nanda Gokula, Rohini is reciting. Rohini is residing in the household of Nanda Maharaj. And this is Nanda Gokula. You go there. See? Because fear personified is living in Mathura. Who is that? Kamsa. You go to Nanda Gokula. In that sense. Yogamaya comes to Nanda Gokula. And Nanda Gokula means that everything becomes even more auspicious by the presence of Yogamaya. By the presence. Now, we find that when Yogamaya enters Nanda Gokula, like that, Krishna simultaneously is one ordered Yogamaya to do service. To do service. Yogamaya's service, In one sense, it can be felt but cannot be seen. It can be felt but cannot be seen, because that's Yogamaya. Yeah. Yogamaya is the nature of influencing people conscious of Krishna. There's an expansion, Mahamaya, has the nature of influencing people not to be conscious of Krishna. Yogamaya is known as she, like a female counterpart. She is ordered by Krishna from Golok, like that, to come to Nanda Gokula, like that. At the same time, in an internal state, she's feeling, I have to remove fear from this place so that it's a place of fearlessness and everyone can come to me, to Krishna, through her, to Krishna, through Yoga Maya, the potency of Yoga Maya. I am not like an active participant. You know, it's like, there's Mother Yashoda, there's Nanda Maharaj, there's that, you know, there's... Nobody really knows me. Only Krishna knows me at the same time. So, although she is a personality within an energetic form, she still has the desire to be a personality amongst the associates of the Lord. Like when she enters in this energetic form in Nanda Gokula, like that, she sees the actual interaction of the personalities who have forms which is not different from themselves. The spirit soul and the form is not different in the spiritual world. She sees that. And then she has a tendency of a desire to be a participant as an associate of the Lord, not just restricted to being an energy of the Lord. Like that. So when Krishna is ordering Yoga Maya like that, this desire in her, in Golok Vrindavan, is she's going through that. She's going through that, like that. And then in subsequent verses in the 10th canto and in other places, in subsequent verses there, then Krishna says, Yoga Maya, you are already auspicious. You are already auspicious. Bhadra. You are already auspicious. Bhadra. But Yoga Maya herself, although she is by nature auspicious, she is not feeling completely auspicious because she's just acting in an energetic way. Energy. Like that. And she has a desire to become like a personal associate amongst the associates of the Lord. You know, in Vraj. Like that. But at the same time, she has service as Yoga Maya. Then Krishna calls her not just auspicious Yoga Maya, because he knows that desire now. I want you to do this for me to prepare for my coming, but at the same time, you have your own desire within my pastime. I have to fulfill that. And then, so therefore, Krishna says very nicely. Krishna says here, Ataham amsa bhagena Devakya Apshyami Twam Yasodayam Tapatnyam Bhavisyasi. Not just auspicious, he used the word Subhe, which indicates not just auspicious now, because you also desire to participate as a personality. What does that mean? All auspicious. So from the word Subhe, you get the word not just Bhadra, you get the word Subhadra. So in other words, the word Bhadra means auspicious, but the root word to make it Subhadra, all auspicious, or always auspicious, comes from the word Subhe, from this particular verse. Already giving her a name, automatically, that when you appear as one of my associates, apart from being the energy Yoga Maya, you will be Subhadra. You will be Subhadra. Says, you will only appear at a particular time as Subhadra. In the meantime, you are my Yoga Maya. And I appear with my full opulences, Aishwarya. He said, when I appear with my full opulences as Devakya Putra, he says clearly, Devakya Putra Nam. At least, Devaki Putra. When I appear as Devaki Putra, I will be appearing with my full opulences. That means Aishwarya. Full opulences. At that time, he blesses her that you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda. Blesses her like that. See? So therefore, this is the desire of Yogamaya. Very, very powerful desires. These are so powerful desires that we can learn that, you know, we are originally associates of the Lord and His servants. And here, Yogamaya wants to be that directly from the Lord, and the Lord fulfills that desire. And in subsequent verses and so forth, we see that Yogamaya actually appears, you know, in the sense as an energy first to prepare for the Lord's coming. And the first task that she is given to do is to take that, you could say in one sense, pregnancy of the seventh pregnancy from Devaki into the womb of Rohini. Was already pregnant. Rohini was already pregnant. And this pregnancy that was taken from Devaki into the womb of Rohini, who was already pregnant, the verses say, Prabhupada says, she was in the 7 months of... Because Devaki appeared to have a miscarriage, but there's nothing. It is just that the potency of the pregnancy was carried by Yogamaya to Rohini. Why Devaki appeared to have a miscarriage? Rohini actually had a miscarriage in his 7th pregnancy to be replaced by Ananta, Balaram. Replaced. So because Rohini had to go through that inconvenience of a miscarriage, that also appeared to be on Devaki in a transcendental way. It appeared like that. It's a little mystical to understand, but that's how it's explained. After that, Yogamaya felt completely complete in her duties of service as Yogamaya. She has done the duty. So she's feeling now, when will the time come when I'll be personalized into an associate of the Lord, like that. And that time came. And that time came is when Vasudev, who was instructed and inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he was about to take Vasudev Krishna, not Shyamasundar Krishna, which we'll discuss more. When he was about to take Vasudev Krishna, you could say in one sense as a newborn child from the delivery room from Devaki, that time Krishna fulfilled the desire of Yogamaya. Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Nanda Maharaj, who is at that time. So therefore, she is considered very much as a fact, eternally. She is considered as, Ja means Jata. Jata means to take birth. And Anu means follow. So Krishna already appeared to Devaki, and when he was being taken by Vasudev, then Yogamaya was born as Subhadra to Yasoda at that time. Therefore, this word Anuja means, Prabhupada says in the purport, in the 4th chapter, Anuja means younger sister of Krishna. Like that. And she's Balaram is about 15 days before older than Krishna, he appeared like that. And she's younger sister. The younger sister, just like in a matter of hours, younger sister, in a matter of hours, in that sense. Now, how is Subhadra, who was born to Yashoda, at the time when Vasudeva is bringing Vasudev Krishna to Gokula. How she is the daughter of Devaki. How is she the daughter of Devaki? Vasudev brought Krishna to the maternity room of Yasoda. He exchanged those babies. At that time, when Vasudev picked up the girl baby, Subhadra, to take back to Devaki, that's how she becomes the daughter of Devaki. Now, we are aware that when she is picked up by Vasudev to bring brought back to the jail of Kamsa, like that, because Vasudev is more connected to Vishnu or Narayan. Vasudev is more connected to Vishnu and Narayan. Like Vasudev picks her up and brings her to Vishnu and Narayan. Prabhupada calls her, and the verses also calls her. That's now she is called Yogamaya Devi. First you get Yogamaya, then you get Subhadra. Subhadra is the daughter of Yasoda. And when she's picked up by Vasudev in exchange for Krishna's baby, to take him back to the jail of Kamsa in Mathura, she is called Yogamaya Devi because she has another function to play. Being carried by Vasudev, who becomes the daughter of Devaki, but only for that moment of being carried to the jail. Just tell us in the 10th canto, when Prabhupada says that she is known as Yogamaya Devi simply because something else is going to happen now. Something else is going to happen. Yogamaya Devi can be personal to Vasudev, but cannot be personal to Kamsa. Personal to Vasudev, but cannot be personal to Kamsa. So when this Yogamaya Devi, who is the younger sister now of Lord Vishnu, as Subhadra to Yasoda, she is the younger sister of Lord of Krishna. So the verses say that now she is the younger sister of Vishnu. She is Yogamaya Devi, like that. When Kamsa took this baby girl, and he wanted to kill, you know, on the stone floor like that, we all know that this girl slipped from Kamsa's hand, and she appeared in the sky, no more as Yogamaya Devi. Why? Because first she was carried by Vasudev, and therefore she's known as Yogamaya Devi. But as soon as Kamsa touches her, she becomes, in inverted commas, contaminated by his touch. The arrangement of the Lord. Like that. Contaminated by his touch. So-called, so to speak. So when she sort of becomes contaminated by his touch, like that, she becomes, as the scriptures tell us, the goddess Durga. Now, Yogamaya, as Subhadra, she does not fight. But Durga fights. Why you handle me in a rough way? I am prepared to fight you. For example, the example is given that that when you get a girl who's innocent and in purity, like that, she's always caring and affectionate and loving and so forth. When you rough handle that girl, you know, her whole disposition changes. Hey, she's no more loving or affectionate. She becomes Durga. You know, Durga means, I will fix you up. I will sort you out. That transformation of Yogamaya to Durga Devi is due to the touch by the hands of Kamsa. And then bhakti is lost. Kamsa has no bhakti. Like that. So immediately this little baby transforms into goddess Durga, and immediately 8 arms, fully equipped with all weapons. Because she was touched by Kamsa and she became Durga, then in one sense that's also a feature of Yogamaya expansion into Mahamaya. Durga Devi, And she has a function to play. She has a function to play. But all the time, Durga Devi, she's feeling, oh, I have now a thankless task. I have now a thankless task. Like that. Because I've been sort of like contaminated by the materialistic consciousness of Kamsa, now I have to attract all those who are materialistic to me. To attract all those materialistic to me. Like that. Now, she doesn't know, she's sort of like, because she's Durga Maya, Mahamaya, like that. But she sort of forgot that Krishna in Goloka of Vrindavan told her this is what happened to her. What happened to her? Where you should attract all the worshippers of Shakti, the energy of the Lord Shakti. Krishna, she sort of like, in other words, she's within Maya, but within her own Maya also she forgot. She completely forgot. Because at the same time, when she's forgetting that, somewhere inside her she feels, oh Krishna, why are you making me do this service? Why are you making me do this service? You know, I was just like born to, you know, I appeared so nicely to Yasoda. There was no childhood for me with my parents, and so forth. Now I came to Devaki, no childhood here again. You know, I cannot be with my parents now. You know, I have this desire, but I'm doing this thankless service. You know, of bewildering those people away from serving you, and that's what they want to do. So, still I desire. I desire. So because of that you could say in one sense, temporary so-called contamination, she has to do some other things. Like that. And Prabhupada is amazing, you know, Prabhupada says very clearly what happened. Durga means one who knows how to cheat people. You know another meaning of Durga? Means how to cheat people. And the first person Durga cheated is Kamsa. So she became so, affected by cheating Kamsa, because it's a service. A service is to cheat. You know, the materials cheat them. She became so emotionally, dispersed in her consciousness that she dispersed herself in various places. Then she settled in one place, in a place called Vindhyachala Hills. After she dispersed herself, she stayed in one place, Vindhyachala Hills, like that. Therefore, you'll find there's no history. We have Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. It's the same Subhadra. Like that. There's no history of Subhadra's Leela, pastime, of what happened when she appeared to Devaki and Mother Yasoda. There's no history of her upbringing. You know, of her upbringing. Like that. There's no history at all. Of her upbringing. And eventually when Krishna moved all his associates, you know, from Mathura into Dwarka, she appeared there again eventually. But there's no history of her growing up. You know, a pastime of growing up. Why? Because she was residing in the Vindhyachala mountains, Vindhyachala hills, that period of time, actually performing severe austerities from this touch of Kamsa. Lord Krishna blessed her that, you know, it's a little difficult because you can imagine that, you know, she has a thankless task to do the service on behalf of Krishna, and Krishna says, I am blessing you to be my devotee. How can you bless, you know, Yoga Maya Devi to become Yoga Maya Devi? Yoga Maya means to link to Krishna. Yoga to link to Krishna. So how can you drop the word yoga and say, now I bless you to be just Maya Devi? And then you drop the word yoga, you become Maya. So Krishna actually blessed him to become Maya Devi. And with great, you know, you could say like reservation. You know, if you're given a task of a service, you know, like that is not, you could say, auspicious in a sense, to keep people in energy, which is Maha Maya, like that. Krishna blessed him, he'll be Maya Devi. And in her consciousness, she's wondering, so Krishna, what do you mean by this blessing? By this blessing? Blessing means that on different places on the surface of the earth, like that, they will worship you in different ways, like that. And she's worshipped as Durga. In some places she's worshipped as Bhadrakali. Other places as Vijaya. Other places as Vaishnavi. This is famous. Vaishnavi Devi, famous, yeah. Famous Vaishnavi Devi, and so forth, like that. Srila Prabhupada says that that Vallabhacharya, that is why a lot of Gujaratis worship Durga and Devi, because Vallabhacharya went more deeper into that thing. And Srila Prabhupada says, Vallabhacharya says that yes, in Varanasi she is known as Durga, go there. Bantipur, she's known as Bhadrakali, like that. In Orissa, she's known as Vijaya, like that. In Kulapur, she's known as Vaishnavi Devi or Mahalakshmi, like that. And in other places, like in some places, she's known as Chandika. In northern India, she's famously known, for some reason or the other, as Sarada. Cape Cameron, as Kanyaka. Thus she is distributed amongst various places by various names. And she becomes powerful. She becomes so powerful by people worshipping her. She, by her power and people worshipping her, she's become rivalries to the Vaishnavas. You know, there's like rivalry like that to the Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada says that people are feeling that when Krishna appeared, she also appeared. So we better worship her than worship Krishna. So there's a rivalry between the Shaktis and the Vaishnavas. Always rivalry. Like that. At times you find that people who worship Devi, they say in general, Devi, this is Durga Devi. Very difficult for them to give up that worship and become Vaishnavas. Very, very, very difficult. Like that. Because they are schooled, even by the Vallabhacharya sect. They are schooled. Appeared, and simultaneously she appeared. Like that. In one sense, for the Shakti worshippers, Janmashtami means she appeared at the time too. Like that. See? So, we say specifically Krishna Janmashtami. For them, Janmashtami means worshipping Krishna as well as worshipping Durga. And Durga worship is more opulent. Therefore, when you especially go to the Vallabhacharya sects and the Gujaratis and Gujarat and so forth like that, they will easily give you donation for Krishna Janmashtami. But they will go worship Durga. Simultaneously appeared. Yes. But when we explain that Durga is actually not Durga, she's an expansion of Yogamaya Devi, who's taken the personified form of Subhadra, who's the younger sister of Krishna. They also know that. But why they worship Durga? But they are not attracted to Aishwarya. And they are not attracted to Madhurya. They are attracted to? They are attracted to material opulence. Literally speaking, one has to give up material opulence and be attracted by spiritual opulence. And when you get attracted by spiritual opulence, when you see the simplicity of bhakti, then you find, oh, this is the most attractive. And that is madhurya. That is Krishna Janmashtami. And then one says, we have to give up all these things and come to the simplicity of bhakti. Sometimes, what people do, when those who are in, you could say, in positions of being the abode of the simplicity of bhakti, being the abode of the simplicity of the bhakti, they always fear. Because we are living in the material world, and we know that there's fear in the material world. We know that, like that, there's fear. So those who are living in the abode of the simplicity of devotion and service, like that, they are afraid to get entangled in spiritual opulence. Afraid to be entangled in spiritual opulence. Because spiritual opulence has a tendency to influence and to overwhelm your simplicity of bhakti. It has the tendency to influence that. Like that. This is called Aishwarya. It is transcendental, but it's called Aishwarya. Like that. And those who are in spiritual opulence, who do not have the simplicity of madhurya, the sweetness of just bhakti alone, but it's added by the spiritual opulence like that, they fear to fall down to material opulence. Like that. But material opulence in the material world has a tendency to overcome spiritual opulence. And spiritual opulence has a tendency to overcome the simplicity of bhakti. That's the only fear of a genuine and sincere devotee. It's the only fear in the material world. It's the only fear. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to say like that. Devaki was full of spiritual opulence, but she just didn't have the simplicity of bhakti, of madhurya, sweetness of just bhakti, like that. So she feared material opulence. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, matsarya, and mada. But whose material opulence is this? Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. That is material opulence. Therefore, Devaki, she was not sorry that when the six sons were killed, you know the six sons that were killed? She was not sorry for that. Why? Because she knows that if she wanted to live with these sons, she would be living with material opulence, kill. These sons are meant to be killed, to become purified. If these sons were killed, then Devaki was fearing not to fall down. So therefore she was involved in spiritual, acted in the simplicity of bhakti, because she is the Aishwarya expansion of Mother Yasoda. Therefore we should be very careful that we should not be influenced by Durga Shakti, by Durga Maya. She does a good job. She knows how to cheat you in material opulence. She just knows how to cheat you completely. Like that. At the same time, living at her name in that sense, by performing austerity, it is said in one of the purports also, in the 10th canto I read. Her name is Vindhya Chala Vasini. You heard this before? Yes?
From
Vindhya Chala Vasini. Her name is Vindhya Chala Vasini, like that, see? But when Krishna went to Dwarka, she left that place and she again became Subhadra. Eventually she married. Yeah, she married Arjuna. You don't find that part like that. That part is dealing with the Shakti worshippers, dealing with the materialists. Like that. At the same time, her inner desire, this service is thankless. is completely thankless. Ratha-yatra is so important also, in that sense. Observing the Ratha-yatra festival, you can be in two parties. You can either be on the chariot, you know, Aishwarya bath, or you can be pulling the rope, which is Madhurya bath. Anyone who sits on the chariot is an Aishwarya bath. Anybody who pulls the rope is Madhurya bath. And who wins? Careful of not to lose the simplicity of bhakti. The simplicity of bhakti can be covered by spiritual opulence. And the next feature, you fall down again to covered by material opulence. To be careful for that. And this represented all the way by Yogamaya, Subhadra, to Vindhyachalavasini, you know, Durgadevi, Vindhyachalavasini, and then back to Subhadra. She can bring you back. For him, Ratha-yatra festival, she can bring you back to the simplicity of bhakti. All right, I guess we'll finish at 8:30, but it's way past 8:30. What's the meaning of
spiritual opulence?
You can say in one sense, you know where he lived? Get Ayodhya, right? All the inhabitants of Ayodhya and Aishwarya, they have spiritual opulence. But spiritual opulence comes, people who are involved in spiritual opulence, they come to see Madhurya. They come to see the simplicity of bhakti. Simplicity of bhakti, Madhurya doesn't go there. The king comes to the muni. The muni doesn't go to king. You getting the point? King comes to muni, the muni doesn't go to king. So I'll give one example. One time in India, there was a prime minister for 2 years or so, Narasingha Rao. Yeah, his name was? Narasingha Rao. Narasingha Rao, right? Prabhupada was in Bombay, Juve. Some of the leading industrialists were life members. Like that. Arranged for Narasingha Rao to come and meet Srila Prabhupada. And he is meant to come. At that time, the Juve land was under some litigation and things like that. There's any problems, you know, that was denied like that. So Prabhupada was living in Akash Ganga building in downtown Mumbai. Narasingha Rao was like 2 kilometers away from. So they arranged, these life members, they came to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, you're the leader of the Hare Krishna. And they said, will you meet him? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said, I will meet him. Not like that. You came to tell me that I have to meet him. You have to go and tell him that he has to come and meet me. Prabhupada was very exact. You have to tell him that he must come and meet me. I am staying here, Akash Ganga building of Kartikeya, where a rented place at that time. He must come and meet me. So Prabhupada was living in like the whole floor was an apartment in one of those apartment buildings. So he said, you can. Narasingha Rao, he agreed to come to meet Prabhupada there. So Tamalakrishna Goswami was there, Giriraj Swami was there at that time. Then the Prime Minister came to Bombay, but he was late. His advance party of security already came to Akash Ganga building. They came, checked out the place. They have like security on top of the roof with high powered rifles and, you know, things like that, you know, for the security of the Prime Minister. So they already came. Like that. But Prime Minister was running late. So the Prime Minister's personal secretary, like that, personally phoned this life member with the connection and say, can you tell Swamiji, Bhaktivedanta Swamiji, the founder charge of ISKCON, Narasingha Rao has 20 minutes for him, Can you come and meet him at that place because he's running late? Like that. So all the security men left and went to that place because this life member came to Prabhupada. He's running here. Can you meet him? You know, like that. Can you meet him there? Like that. I don't know who the life member was. You know, he's a big industrialist like that. Yeah. said the sadhu never goes to meet a king. The king must always come and meet the sadhu, and he must honor it. Because he knew Narasimha Rao was a pious man. He will understand when he says like this. He's a pious man. So Prabhupada said, the personal secretary said, but I will not come. He must always come to see me. I will not. They asked why. And Prabhupada said, what can I do? I'm just. Prabhupada is, meanwhile, he's saying, this is Madhurya Bhav. I'm in the simplicity of bhakti. He says, you know, he's a royal man, he's a king, he's a prime minister, he's a big man. Prabhupada knows when he goes and sees him, he'll become influenced by that opulence. But if he comes to see him, he'll be influenced by bhakti. Prabhupada knew that. So Prabhupada said, anyway, I'm sending two of my representatives. So he said, Giriraj Swami, and he sent another devotee, I forget who's the other devotee. Very happy to meet them as representatives of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He said, I'll send two of my representatives, but I won't come personally, even if you change the arrangement. Therefore, it is important that people who live in royalty, who follow dharma, that is called spiritual opulence. Kings, you know, like, who follow dharma. And where are they getting the dharma from? Where are they getting it from? How to follow? By those who are Madhurya Bhav, simplicity of bhakti. Those who are experiencing the sweetness of devotion, they get it from them. So therefore, this is one challenge that India is facing with Prabhupada never compromised. Never, ever compromised. Like that. Another personal example I had, just to answer your question. We should be very careful like that. Those who have the simplicity in bhakti, they are not interested in material opulence or spiritual opulence. It's too chummy, it's insignificant. It's nothing. That spiritual opulence and material opulence influences them, they stay far away. Don't come near. Because it's going to influence like that. See? So one time, I was in Juhu, in Mumbai, in our temple. There were some very wealthy industrialists who are big donors, huge donors. You know, they are like punya karma like anything. You know, they are vegetarian from birth. They know what is eliciting. They're like above all these things. Even the children. They're very pious, you know, very powerful, pious people. Like that. See, very powerful people. I'm not going to mention their name. So they're big industrialists in Bombay. So sometimes they have some sort of, you could say in one sense, program where they want to invite genuine brahmanas. You know, not cheating brahmanas. And then, so that they'll invite, and then the leading brahman must give a talk. You know, some will invite people. So they invited, for some reason or other, they invited 12 brahmanas. So I happened to be in Juhu, and maybe senior devotees around, you know, that type of thing. So they said, then I wasn't a sannyasi, I was a brahmachari. They said, no, Prabhu, can you come? And in those days, this is like maybe, you know, 15 years ago. Those days, they'll give each one not less than 1 lakh. Get 1,50,000. I was happy to be the speaker. I went to this place, and I see, like, you know, Western world couldn't match this thing. And state, and you know, like that, huge grounds. I went in there, was being kirtan. So while their associates and their friends, like that, they're just mingling amongst themselves, and we have to do the kirtan softly. The kirtans and bhajans, softly. So they took one of our devotees who is very good in kirtan professionally. He was doing the kirtan, and they already, you know, told them what to do. So we have to do it softly as a background. We have to bring auspiciousness to the atmosphere while they mingle around and talk and things like that. And we are 12 brahmanas. We are doing kirtan, I'm waiting now when I have to speak, and I got a little bit wasn't happy with the situation. So I said, no, I'll call the host. He said, why? No, you can't call the host. You will tell them what to do. You will tell them. This is huge, man. These are like, they don't even know how much they're worth. You know, like that. So the host came, and you know, when you wear saffron, you know, saying, Swamiji, you know, what's the problem? Can I say, the way we are being treated here is like we are entertainers. You know, like that. I said, I'm going to entertain you. Like that. You're supposed to come to us. You're using us to create auspiciousness for you so that you can impress your friends here. We're not here to impress you and your friends. Like that. So what do you want to do? I said, yes, I'm going to make a decision. I'm leaving right now. Car was brought me with the two other devotees or something, and the driver was there. The next day he came to see me. I said, this is right. He died for 3 hours and so far, like that, and he gave me one. I said, you cannot bribe. I said, take it. He said, no, when I did this, this went to the Juhu board. Like that. I had to go to the board meeting, you know. I said, how you do like this? I'm learning from Prabhupada. You do like this? I said, this is the way. This is the way. Spiritual opulence. Neither will you need spiritual opulence, but those who have it are subordinate to Madhurya Bhav. Otherwise, gradually, you know, from Subhadra, you know, from Yogamaya Devi becomes Durga Devi and problems. So much opportunity is that she should come to me. Eventually, after Prabhupada left, after Prabhupada Maharaj and Gopal Krishna Maharaj went and met her, they went to her. But Prabhupada, you know, he very clear, very clear. That's it. But now we have to meet with people because sometimes we have problem in Russia, you know, Kazakhstan and other places. That's how you can get contaminated. Like you'll find, they don't have, but they have it in this country. In fact, sometimes the wealthy people who have material opulence, they'll come to ISKCON to control. Because for them, money is power. Money is power. These people are powerful, so let me buy through my money the power. Careful for these things. Bhakti is very simple. You should keep it simple. That's the most valuable wealth one can have. Don't lose that wealth for these insignificant things like spiritual. Don't lose it. Actually, you become more degraded. Royalty to simplicity. Like that. Kings are material opulence. But when they come to the brahmanas, the sannyasis, you know, the brahmacharis, like that, when they come to them, they come to them. So that they feel the real wealth of the simplicity of bhakti. That's what I did at the beginning of the program. Short talk, and there's more practicality of how it's going to work. Or one can become, you could say, self-responsible in terms of one's practice of sadhana bhakti. Sunday I'll continue the discussion for preparing our consciousness for Balaram Purnima and Krishna Janmas. I'll continue again with Monday and Tuesday in the evenings. Then we continue with our series of talks. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yathā Gaura Prema Vrindeva.